Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Cliff Jensen, a.k.a. Mr. Fahrenheit. And you know what I'm going to say. I say it every week. What another wild week in the NFL. This time I mean it. That Bills and Vikings game, if you had the pleasure of watching it, game of the year. I haven't seen a game like that since... I think it was Monday Night Football, Rams versus Chiefs. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Both teams put up 50. But this Vikings-Bills game was unbelievable. Went down to the wire. Looked like the Vikings were going to score in the red zone. They don't get it done. Josh Allen now has the ball at their own 1 yard line. He fumbles it in the end zone. So the Vikings get a touchdown. After the fact, then Josh Allen just drives down the field, gets a field goal, goes to overtime. Just an insane game. Great offense. It's not even the defense's fault. The offense was just better. Justin Jefferson made one of the best catches I've ever seen. A one-handed catch with the defender, had both hands on the ball, and as they're coming down, he just rips it right from his hands. And that's where I'm going to start today in Cliff Notes. Is that Justin Jefferson, as of right now, is the best wide receiver in the league. And that's no disrespect to, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, or Cooper Kupp. Unfortunately, Cooper Kupp was injured this week and looks like to be a high ankle sprain. That's going to be a 4 to 6 weeker. And they're kind of out of contention anyway. But Justin Jefferson is his route running, his hands, he's so important for that Vikings team. I mean, all those number one wide receivers are, right? Cooper Kupp, we'll see what the Rams look like without him for a while. It's not going to be good. Stephon Diggs is, I think Stephon Diggs is somehow still underrated, if that makes any sense. He's just so good what he does with the Bills and helps Josh Allen. And then Tyreek Hill just with that speed. But Justin Jefferson's on another level right now. The Vikings are 8-1 on the season. They look to be the real deal as far as a Super Bowl contender. But we all know Kirk Cousins on prime time is much different than 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins. And that Bills-Vikings game was a 1 p.m. game. Next up for Cliff Notes, just a couple different odd stats here. The Broncos, as bad as they are, and I'll talk about them a little later here on top three, bottom three, ranking the NFL teams. The Broncos, as bad as they are, would be 8-1 if they scored at least 18 points per game. If they just scored 18 points on the dot every single game this year, which is not a lot to ask, well below league average, they would be 8-1. They're just a terrible offensive team. That means their defense is great, but it just goes to show you, man, the Jets have a great defense, but their offense is better than the Broncos. That's right. Zach Wilson is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson right now. And it's showing because you can compare the Broncos and Jets defenses. They're both really good, really talented, and they're keeping them in these games. But right now, the Broncos are just not getting it done offensively. Our next and final stat for Cliff Notes, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I actually love. I think he's a good quarterback. But this stat is mind-blowing. He had 0 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football, and the 49ers won. Jimmy G is now 10-2 in games that he does not throw a touchdown. Think about that for a minute. How many games do you think the Chiefs or Bills or Buccaneers would win if those quarterbacks don't throw or not involved in throwing touchdown passes? Jimmy G is the most elite game manager probably of all time. I I do like him. It's okay to be a game manager when you have that running game and have that defense. It's just amazing what he can do without putting up stats. He's just a winner. And sometimes that can win you a lot of games and turn you into a Super Bowl contender. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's just a winner. So I just thought that was interesting. 10-2 if he had, you know, when he has zero touchdowns. Very interesting there. It's time for top three, bottom three, my top three teams in the NFL currently, and my bottom three teams. Not going to spend a ton of time on it, but we had movement. The Bills are out of the top three until Josh Allen can show me that he's an elite quarterback without Brian Daboll. Because right now in the red zone, he's awful. He's making quote-unquote Zach Wilson throws. Zach Wilson doesn't turn the ball over in the red zone, by the way. Josh Allen is right now. He's throwing it right to defenders. So sorry for Gage that he has to hear this. Gage was at the game. I'm sure he's probably nodding. He understands that you can't throw the ball to the other team in the red zone. Simple as that. So they are out of the top three. The top three here in the NFL, Chiefs, number one. Number two, Minnesota Vikings. They're the real deal. They got a signature win in Buffalo. I'm gonna put them top two. Number three, the Eagles moved down to number three. They're 8-1. They lose to the Washington Commanders last night at home. That's a terrible loss for them. The Commanders, their entire offense was just running the ball. I think they put up over 40 rush attempts. A very ugly Monday Night Football game, but they get it done against the Eagles, so I moved them down to number three. The bottom three teams, I have the Texans ranked last. Next above them is the Las Vegas Raiders. Terrible, terrible team right now. Don't know what's going on with them. And they're not in rebuild mode either. So that's going to be an awkward offseason for them. And then right above them, I have the Broncos. So we thought that division was going to be the best division in football, the AFC West. And it turns out that the Chiefs are just absolutely dominating that division without Tyreek Hill. And the other three teams, you know, the Chargers are kind of just treading water right now until they can get their weapons back. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But the Raiders and Broncos are messes. They are not in rebuild mode. They're spending tons of money on quarterback play, and they're not getting it. I don't think either team has a very good coach. And Josh McDaniels paid a lot of money to come from the Patriots to be their head coach. So awkward times in the AFC West, and I'm all for it. As a Jets fan, I hope those teams pretty much keep doing terribly so I can sneak into the playoffs. But that's all I had for you guys today. Cliff Notes, top three, bottom three. Don't forget the end of the episode. I'm sure, I haven't looked at them yet, but I'm sure our league power rankings have probably shifted. And even if they haven't, I have my own version of the top three in our league. I think with some trades that happen, I think there's been some movement in the rankings. I should say that. We have our matchup of the week, of course, studs and duds, and our matchups, and we can start looking at playoff scenarios. We can start looking at who's been eliminated from the season as far as winning the championship. But of course, as we know, there's no elimination from the Build-A-Bear Bowl, so we can take a look at who's going to be involved with that. But without further ado, let's get to the matchup of the week. We begin with the matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be this week? Whoop! It's gonna be Juan Torres Falcons taking on the Pillar of Fire Tom. And Juan takes the win. A statement win in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, 104-96. This was actually a bigger matchup than I realized. Both teams coming in almost must-win territory for the Build-A-Bear Bowl. And Juan Torres scores triple digits, 104. Not a bad week at all for Mr. Torres. I'm sure he's very, very happy and excited. This game went well into the Monday Night Football slate. Juan needed a big game from Mr. Terry McLaurin, and he got it. 8 receptions for 128 yards. Good for 16 fantasy points in one of the weirdest games of the week, where the Washington Commanders ran the ball over 40 times. It turns out anytime they did pass the ball, it was going to Terry McLaurin. So Terry McLaurin gets Juan the win. As far as his dud goes, I'm going to go Allen Robinson in a game where Cooper Kupp was injured. Unfortunately, Matt Stafford did not play. And, you know, it showed how bad the Rams are when they don't have Matt Stafford. They're pretty bad with Matt Stafford. And maybe there's more opportunity coming for Allen Robinson now that Kupp has a high ankle sprain. But as of right now, there is issues going on with the Rams, and Allen Robinson only 6 fantasy points. Moving on to Mr. Tom Beggs. Tom, 96 points, a close battle here. Duds all over the place. The aforementioned Cooper Kupp was injured. Only 3 receptions, good for minus 1 yard. Very interesting. He wasn't doing much before he got injured as well. But as far as your dud goes, I'm going DeAndre Swift, which is insane to say because he did score a touchdown. But I thought this was the week that the Lions were going to unleash him. He had a full practice on Friday, the first time since week 1 that he's been fully healthy practiced. And I was so upset seeing them split the backfield, not just 2 ways. I get that Jamal Williams has been playing well, but they split the backfield 3 ways with Craig Reynolds, and it was just disgusting to see. So Tom takes the loss here. As far as, you know, with 96 points, as far as your stud goes, you did have some good players here. Jeff Wilson Jr., I believe you got him off the waiver wire. 21 fantasy points, 119 yards, and a touchdown. Just not enough for Tom. Tom moves to 3-7 on the year. Now tied with Juan, who moves to 3-7 on the year. Nice job, boys. All right, our next matchup of the week. Speaking of Build-A-Bear Bowl, this was another important matchup in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. That's hard to say. Build-A-Bear Bowl standings. The Book of Samuel. Joe Chick taking on Taylor, the trophy wife. And Taylor takes the win easily here. 106-51. Wah, 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 wah. 51 could be one of the lower scores of the year. I know for a while there, Tom was grabbing his 60-point losses. But 51 points from Joe Chick. He was very upset. We were texting each other. We have a lot of common players on each other's rosters from other teams. And as I've stated before, I have Jalen Hurts. He has A.J. Brown. He has Joe Burrow. I have T. Higgins. So we have a connection there with our wide receivers and quarterbacks. So we chat a lot. And he's been a great addition to the league anyway, just with his, willingness to go through the gutter here for the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Looking at his team, though, this could be the first one, folks. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if we've had a team to have no studs yet. I remember when Tom was scoring 60, Cooper Kupp was still kind of going off for him. And I think this is the week we have no studs on Joe Chick's team. 51 fantasy points. There's really not a lot to go through here. DK Metcalf was the high point man with 10 points, but DK Metcalf is an elite wide receiver. I kind of do expect more than 10 to call him a stud. I think the 12 plus, 13 plus point range would have been a little better. Obviously, it wouldn't have mattered in this matchup, but we're gonna go no stud here. As far as your dud, there's just too many to count. Miles Sanders last night did you no favors, 54 rushing yards. It looks like the San Francisco boys, George Kittle and Debo Samuel, are, they're role players now that Christian McCaffrey has joined the party, and apparently Elijah Mitchell demands 18 carries. I can't believe there was enough carries to go around for the backup Elijah Mitchell to get 18 and Christian McCaffrey to still get his, normal workload. Although Christian McCaffrey's workload was subpar compared to weeks prior. He got 36 opportunities, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and they've definitely cut that in half with the return of Elijah Mitchell. So be on the lookout for that. I know Gage has CMC, who's going to be good, but this is what I was worried about. Joining another team, CMC, and I don't want to talk too much about CMC, he's not on either of these teams, but CMC is not the absolute backbone of the offense anymore like he was with the Carolina Panthers. So yes, they will use him. Yes, he will be viable for fantasy, but I don't know if he's the number one fantasy player out here right now, because it looks like he will be splitting that backfield with Elijah Mitchell. Anyway, moving to the winner of the matchup, the trophy wife. I know she must be very excited. We were chatting. Both our kids go to gymnastic class Saturday morning. So I was able to see three different members of our league this weekend. I saw Taylor. I saw Josh. I saw Jason. Chris Roach and Gage were together this weekend. The league is just together, folks. Again, I know where you all are at all times. Kidding on that aspect. But trophy wife takes the win, 106. Let's take a look at her team. So probably just under league average as far as points scored, but she'll take it, I'm sure. A great bounce back performance from Amon-Ra St. Brown, 17 fantasy points, no touchdowns, but good for 10 receptions, 119 yards. I believe he only has one touchdown on the year. If I remember, I'm going off plain memory, but he gets it done with receptions. This is a PPR league. So, I mean, that's where he's going to get you. Some extra points and some extra love. As far as your dud goes, this might be a first timer. Austin Eckler, only 9 fantasy points, 24 yards rushing. The San Francisco defense was ready for Austin Eckler. They studied the film. They realized how important he is in that pass game. They weren't giving him any lanes. He did get 7 receptions, but only 39 yards on those receptions. So as soon as he caught the ball, he was getting tackled, and he ends up being a dud on your team. Better days ahead for him, of course. I do believe he is probably the number one fantasy football player moving forward. He's unbelievable, but he throws up a dud here. But nonetheless, Taylor takes the win and now moves to 4-6 on the year, while Joe Chick is the only team at 2-8. Now, Joe Chick's 2-8. He does have more points than teams like Bathroom Handjobs. He has more points than, I believe, Juan Torres Falcons. And it's interesting to see. We have 1, 2, 3 teams that are 3-7. So he's only one game out from being out of the Build-A-Bear Bowl Championship. I guess we could call it that. You don't want to be the champion of the Build-A-Bear Bowl. But as of right now, if the season ended right now, Joe Chick would be taking a teddy bear out to dinner and have the waitress take a picture of him with the bear. But we'll see. Lots of season left as we move forward. And Taylor is she's on a little streak here. Don't let her get hot, folks. She's trying to make a comeback. Nice win. Our next matchup is going to be bye week. His name is still bye week. Gage taking on Bathroom Handjobs, Mike Corrado. And Gage takes the overwhelming victory, 138-92. Studs all over the place. Gage's team is going to be a problem. It was underperforming. He was still first in his division, but he wasn't, you know, blowing teams out. His record wasn't the best. But his team moving forward looks to be like an absolute contender. I don't know what the power rankings, the simulation is going to say for later on in the episode. But if he's not in the top three, I would, like, he's a team to be reckoned with. He can win the league and he should be a top three team. I believe he will be. We'll take a look a little bit later. But CeeDee Lamb. Ooh. Big game from CeeDee Lamb. 11 receptions, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. This is the stud wide receiver that we expected when we were drafting him, late round 2 for the Dallas Cowboys. Now that Amari Cooper is no longer a Cowboy, this is what you expect. He has taken on that Stephon Diggs alpha number one type role for Dak Prescott. Let's see if he can keep it rolling, though. There's always some inconsistency with CeeDee Lamb. Let's see if he can keep this rolling. They do lose the game, by the way, against the Green Bay Packers. But for fantasy purposes, Gage is very happy with that performance. That's a huge, huge game for CeeDee Lamb. As far as his dud goes, it's going to be Robert Tonyan. Otherwise, he didn't have, you know, any players hurt him too bad. But Robert Tonyan, one reception for 8 yards. It looks like Aaron Rodgers has now found himself a decent number two wide receiver in Christian Watson. I do think people are going to overblow the Christian Watson performance. People don't realize that, Alan Lazard was getting shadowed all game, and he's still the number one wide receiver. So I can't wait for Christian Watson to probably put up 4 fantasy points next week. I mean, this is what wide receivers do. Sometimes they break out. We saw Romeo Doubs do this before. He had a couple good games, and Romeo Doubs had himself a 0-point game eventually. So just be very weary with Christian Watson if you own him in any leagues. You can have some optimism, but should have one eye open, or maybe, you know, watching your back. I don't know what to say as far as just be careful with Christian Watson moving forward. As far as bathroom hand jobs, it looks like he's going to be eliminated from title contention this year. I suppose he's our interim champion. He won the belt 2 years ago. Henry Blethyn won last year and left the league. So I believe Crotto still has our league belt. So we'll have to go ahead and get that back from him. Looks like we're going to have a new champion in the league. But duds all over the place. Nothing worse than Alvin Kamara. This is back-to-back games now. 6 fantasy points, 26 yards. I don't understand the usage. Andy Dalton's in the game. A guy, you know, who's a guy who can't really – he's not mobile. He can't run. I don't know why they're not checking it down to Alvin Kamara. It's really pissing me off. Other teams that have elite pass-catching running backs always find a way to get it to them. Austin Eckler had a bad game as well, but he had 7 receptions. It's like you have to at least try to get it to your best player. I understand they probably had the Steelers had a nice game plan as far as stopping Kamara, but to me it looked like Dalton was under pressure all game with TJ Watt back. So what's better than getting out of that pressure than throwing a screen pass to Alvin Kamara? I just don't understand the usage. But as far as your stud goes, a great start here by Corrado, Kadarius Toney. And it looks like moving forward, Tony's going to have a great role with the Chiefs, 17 fantasy points in his second game with the Chiefs, 4 for 57 and a touchdown. And Juju Smith-Schuster had a really, really scary head injury. He went full comatose, knocked out, you know, hands forward, zombie-like type stuff. So I can't see Juju playing this coming week. So Kadarius Toney could be a key factor if you have him in any other leagues. But nonetheless, bathroom hand jobs moves to a disappointing 3-7 on the year. He's going to be in the Build-A-Bear Bowl this year, and he's eliminated. Look, I guess he has a 2% chance to make playoffs, but highly unlikely. While Mr. Gage, 6-4 on the year, has a commanding lead on the division, and it looks like he is playoff bound. All 3 teams that are in his division besides him are 3-7. He has that division almost on lockdown. All right, our next matchup was very close to being matchup of the week. It's going to be Els Bells taking on Dawson Knox's Creek, Josh. And Josh takes the win 134-115. Again, it was very close. But to me, you know, this game basically doesn't decide who the champion is at all. I don't think there's going to be much movement on the power rankings because of this matchup. Josh put up a very good performance, but the Build-A-Bear Bowl is really heating up. It looked like Juan's team was by far the worst in the league, and he gets a win with triple digits, so maybe it's not as bad as we think. I still think it's pretty bad. So to me, that game kind of just took precedent, but I can totally understand why both these guys would think this is the matchup of the week. Next gen stats from Elliot himself. he did the math. I guess in his four losses this year, I didn't do any of the math, so I can't back this up. Elliott said that his opponents in his four losses are averaging 145 fantasy points. So when he loses, he's getting people's absolute juggernaut, best case scenario situations. And to me, that only elevates his team even more because he's not putting up duds. He put up 115 here in a week where he has a bunch of bye weeks and injuries. He doesn't have Lamar Jackson. Ramondre Stevenson's on bye as well. Mark Andrews is hurt. He thought he was going to have David Njoku. He paid $60 for him on the waiver wire, but he was hurt, high ankle sprain. He was out. He made all the right starts. He started Foster Moreau, tight end, got him 43 yards and a touchdown. Nobody on his bench went off. He made the perfect starts and still just wasn't enough. So I totally relate to that. It's fantasy football. It happens. Well, let's take a look at Josh's team. Another mega performance from Justin Fields. Almost 40 fantasy points here. 167 yards passing, which is nothing, but four total touchdowns. He is on pace right now to beat Lamar Jackson's record for rushing in a season, which is insane because the first couple games he wasn't really rushing the ball, so they completely changed the offense. This is just like Gage's team. Josh's team is now a new contender for the championship. I believe it's a 4-5 team race for the championship, and Josh's team, to me, is probably about third. If not second, I would definitely keep it at third. And we'll go over the power rankings later, and then maybe I'll even give my personal power rankings if you guys care to hear that, just from some of the stuff I see. But Josh's team goes off. Christian Kirk in contention for stud of the week as well, 27 fantasy points. As far as your dud goes, Derrick Henry, you know, newly acquired, just joined the team. Maybe he's learning the playbook for you, but 7 fantasy points, which is weird because they won. Denver's defense is just elite, and they shut Derrick Henry down, and the Titans still win. And they didn't even have a good game passing. It's so odd to me. Low-scoring game as far as that Denver and Titans game goes, ugly. So Derrick Henry, 7 points, better days ahead for him. Moving on to L's Bells, you know, Justin Jefferson is that guy. He's him. He's Himothy, whatever those terms are. 10 receptions, 193 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that catch, I still can't stop thinking about it, was on 4th and long. I think it was like 4th and 18 or something like that. Goes up with one hand, rips it from the defender. That's what kept the drive going, where they ultimately got the win against the Bills on the road. Just unbelievable performance. As far as duds go, you got duds, you know, this week for sure. Amari Cooper on the road. He has yet to have a good road game, and they have another road game next week. 3 receptions, 32 yards, 4 fantasy points. Not great. As well as guys like Chris Olave and Travis Etienne. 5 points and 8 points respectively. So Elliott still puts up 115, which is, you know, a top score in the league still. And just couldn't get it done against Josh's newly acquired juggernaut team. I mean, it's a good team. We'll talk about that more in the power rankings. But Elliott moves to 6-4 on the year, and Josh moves to 7-3. All right, next up is going to be Alicia's team, Unleash the Beast, 124 against Yeeters Skeeters. Jason has 81. Alicia takes the win. Again, another big output of points for Alicia. She just keeps winning, folks. She's got some bye weeks and injuries, kind of just like Elliott's team. She made all the right starts this week, even though she had bye weeks and injuries and her bench did absolutely nothing, and all her starters went off. That's what you want to see. That's how you win in fantasy football, making those correct start-sit decisions. As far as her stud goes, Patrick Mahomes had a nice game, but we expect that from Patrick Mahomes. How about Jonathan Taylor? Welcome back to fantasy relevancy. 147 on the ground and a touchdown, good for 23 fantasy points. I'm sure she's very happy to have her number one pick back in the fold. As far as her dud goes, you know, Zach Ertz got injured, only one fantasy point. That's going to be interesting moving forward to see what she does there. That was her, you know, season-long flex play, but it looks like she could be getting Keenan Allen back this week. So things are just, man, they are lining up for Miss Alicia. Everything has lined up perfectly for her so far this year. As far as her dud goes, we'll go Jarvis Landry. He didn't have a great game. 3 receptions, 37 yards. I don't know how much we really expected from Jarvis Landry. Again, she's going through bye weeks and some injuries. And 5 fantasy points, not great. I think they got to go back to Jameis Winston. Andy Dalton's really not getting it done anymore. Losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. And they weren't really even in the game. They only scored 10 points as a team, the New Orleans Saints. So not great. Moving on to Jason's team. Jason's team is slipping a little bit here. I told you guys from the beginning that he'd have a hot start, and he did. He started 4-1, 5-1, and things have been slowly slipping away from Yeter Skeeters. As far as your stud goes, we'll go Stephon Diggs. Had a great game, 12 receptions, 128. No touchdowns, though. You really kind of need the touchdown to put him over the top, but it just a good PPR performance from Stephon Diggs. Oh, man, we want to talk about duds. Duds all over the place, really. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 0 points. He only played 3 snaps. He's droppable to me. I'm so glad I traded him in a league for Mike Evans early on when he was scoring touchdowns. That's when Jason was kind of reaping the benefits of Clyde. When he was on the field and scoring touchdowns at an unsustainable pace, this is when fantasy knowledge and understanding trends, and, you know, Clyde was scoring touchdowns, and that's what was keeping him fantasy relevant, but he could not sustain that production on the limited amount of touches he was getting. So you got to do your homework. This was always going to happen to Clyde. He was trending down for weeks. He just happened to keep getting touchdowns, and now he's hit the bottom of the barrel. It looks like the Chiefs are going to move on from him. They'd rather give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco, who is a 6th-round rookie running back who doesn't really catch the ball. They'd rather give it to him than put Clyde in the game. Jerry Jeudy was injured pretty much one of the first plays of the game. He got 0 points, so not helping Jason's cause. Jason only puts up 81. He's still 6-4 on the year. I'm extremely jealous of that. Extremely jealous of that record. And I get to play him next week in an absolute showdown. I have a 30% chance of making the playoffs, while Jason has a 76% chance, and I do believe that might flip a little bit. It would be more like 50-50 if I can beat Jason next week. Jason has 3 losses in a row. Alicia has 2 wins in a row. Alicia moves to 9-1 on the year. She is slated to go to the playoffs. She's a 100% chance to make the playoffs, the first team to lock up a playoff spot officially in our league. Nice job, Alicia. All right, I've been dreading it, but our next matchup is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on the BV Bar Wenches, Chris Roach. Roach takes the win, 94-88. Very close battle here. Underperforming teams, under triple digits, way under league average for scoring. We were both trying to grind out these wins, and Roach gets it done here. Aaron Jones, let's talk about him, had a great, great week. He's just another one of those guys. He's kind of like Alvin Kamara. He's going to disappear some weeks. He's going to have, a 6-point fantasy game, an 8-point fantasy game, but he will come through with these big 22-point fantasy games, 138 yards and a rushing touchdown. Wasn't really involved in the receiving game, but a great game plan against the Dallas Cowboys. The Green Bay Packers win the game, and I believe that there was a time where Aaron Rodgers was on the sidelines, and the commentators could read his lips, and he was telling the coach to run the ball. And that's like the first time I can ever think of Aaron Rodgers pleading to run the ball as elite as he is as a quarterback. He sees the writing on the wall that they need to be a running team moving forward. and sprinkle in the pass. And Aaron Jones was the benefactor of that. As far as duds go, we're going right back to Kyle Pitts. 3 fantasy points, 2 receptions, 28 yards. It was actually really good to watch the Falcons play on Thursday Night Football because I have yet to see any Falcons gameplay. It is not Kyle Pitts' fault. Every throw, he was getting targets. Every throw is at his feet or 10 feet above his head. He's running routes way downfield, more like a wide receiver. So if he gets a catch, I mean, you're talking 40 yards. These are receiver-like routes that he's running, and Mariota cannot connect with him. So another dud performance from Kyle Pitts, but nonetheless, Roach takes the win. Moving on to my team, just that this game was there for my team to win. I got what I wanted. If you told me on Wednesday night, Cliff, would you take 94 points for Chris Roach right now, and then we'll see what your team does? Absolutely. Roach has a great team. Right now, he doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase. I thought that was a very good opportunity to beat him. Justin Herbert did not have a good performance for his team on Sunday Night Football, so I thought maybe I could sneak this win in on Monday Night Football. Jalen Hurts got me 21 fantasy points. I can't complain there, but it goes back to injuries again, man. Every time I need a win, it doesn't happen. It's due to injury. Juju Smith-Schuster injured early in this game. It looked like he was going to have a monster game. He already had 2 receptions for 33 yards in the first quarter. And as you know, Patrick Mahomes went on to throw 4 touchdowns over 300 yards again. I can just bank on a lot of those yards going. I'm not giving myself a win per se in my head, but just dud performances. Let's start talking about them. Forget this all. David Montgomery against the Lions. I don't know if it's his fault, man. Justin Fields is just too dang good. Someone said it on a different podcast, like, when the ball gets hiked to Justin Fields, he's already the best runner on the team. So why would you hand it off? Why would you take the extra time to hand it off to David Montgomery when the best runner on the team already has the ball right after it's hiked? So there's just not enough left over for David Montgomery. And he was splitting the backfield with Khalil Herbert, who is now injured. So we'll see what's going on there. I might be able to get some points out of Montgomery next week. But a concerning performance from David Montgomery, who I just acquired. Him and Juju, and Juju gets hurt. Terrible trade on my part. All hindsight, but not looking good for my team. As far as my stud goes, it's Deontay Foreman, again, putting up a monster performance on Thursday Night Football. I had a great start to the matchup against Roach. I really thought I was going to get it done with Foreman's 19 points, 130 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. I thought it was a good head start, man, but the rest of my team, really just didn't show up. Even Tyreek Hill was kind of mediocre. He had a touchdown in this game, but only 5 receptions for 44 yards. So I do take the loss. Unfortunately, I moved to 4-6 on the year. Chris Roach is 7-3. I'm still a top scoring team in this league. It's very depressing as far as fantasy goes. I'm the 3rd highest scoring team in the league. I know, bring out the violin. I'm only 2 points behind Alicia. 2 points behind Alicia in scoring, and she's 9-1. And it looks like I'm probably going to miss the playoffs. But this matchup coming up against Mr. Yeater Skeeters, Jason Kelly, will determine my fate as far as the rest of the season goes. So nice job, Chris Roach. All right, let's go to the simulator and let's talk rest of season power rankings. There's definitely one team on here I don't understand this power ranking. And I'll preface it by saying it's my team. I don't understand this simulation. And again, this is a trial run for this simulator here. We'll see if we use it moving forward next year. I'm having a hard time understanding it. The rest of the list kind of makes sense to me. We'll start off at number 12, Torres Falcons. Now, he does get the win, I understand, but this has been one of his best weeks in recent weeks. So I think maybe the simulator thinks it's more of an anomaly, but Juan is at number 12. At number 11 is the trophy wife. Again, I think she should be moved up a little bit higher. Back-to-back wins. She does have a solid team, and I think she's going to get more wins moving forward, but she's going to be 11 right now. At number 10, Yeaters Skeeters, the fall from grace all the way down at number 10. I think that trade had a lot to do with it. He's got bye weeks. He's got injuries. I don't know if it's really taken into account injuries. The simulation, it's a little early in the week. At number 9, Bathroom Hand Jobs, out of title contention this year. They got him at number 9. At number 8, Pillar of Fire. At number 7, the BV Bar Wenches. At numbers, this is one of the, I mean, I don't understand this. The Book of Samuel at number 6, I believe he's out of contention with a record of 2-8. I'm not sure how he can be the rest of season 6th ranked team here. I think he is scoring a good amount of points. Just not seeing, I mean, 6 would mean he's a playoff team it's just not possible. At number 5, Unleash the Beast. So somehow sitting at 9-1, and they have her ranked 5th. This one I understand. Dawson Knox's Creek at number 4. His team, he might have found himself a really, really, really good fantasy quarterback. It's almost like picking up a Lamar Jackson on waivers. That's going to be a huge difference for Josh's team moving forward. Especially Gage's team is a great team as well, but doesn't have an elite quarterback, and Elliot and Josh do. So number 3 is going to be bye week. That's Gage's team at number 3. This is what I don't understand, how I'm ranked number 2. I don't agree with that at all. I think the trade I made hurt my team in the long run. I was trying to buy a win this week and it didn't work. And now I think moving forward with bye weeks, I do think it hurt my team. I don't know how I'm ranked number 2. And at number 1 is still going to be Els Bells. I still agree that he's the best. He's the team to beat. He's 6-4 now, though. He's going to have to get some wins here, and I know it's not his fault. Teams are just putting up ridiculous numbers on him right now, but he is not 100% locked to make the playoffs now. He does have more than a 90% chance to make the playoffs, so I think he's going to make it, but he has not locked up a playoff spot like Alicia has. I would have my top 3 as Els Bells, probably Josh's team if Justin Fields can keep this up. Then I'd have Gage's team, and then I'd have Alicia's team. And then I can't even put myself at 5th. I'd have the BV Bar Wenches there. So I'd have myself down at 6. The Book of Samuel is there. And I know this is probably hard to follow on podcast, but this list is a little out of whack to me as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if it updates itself. I'll post it again on Thursday, right before Thursday Night Football. But thank you all for listening, whoever is listening. I feel like the numbers are dropping. Not a lot of chatter. This is the kind of, you know, odd part of the season where some teams are getting eliminated and, you know, we're getting closer to playoffs. Now, I don't do podcasts during the playoffs, so hopefully you guys are enjoying these episodes while we have them. I still like making them, so whoever is listening, I really do appreciate it. And if you know me well, which most of you do, you know I'll talk fantasy football to the door. So I'll talk to a wall about fantasy and tell the wall why my fantasy team should be in the playoffs. But appreciate you guys for listening. Have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next week.